of this recording, Arkansas 26, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot-and-mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped off with a cloth. She wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. So when I was 6 years old, my folks bought a new house out in rural Jefferson County, and the place did not at the time belong to, it wasn't its own town. It was incorporated into the city of Pine Bluff, and didn't become a part of the city of Whitehall until after I was out of high school, which would have been sometime after 1996. In any case, so my parents bought that house out in rural Jefferson County off of Highway 104. And it wasn't incorporated into Whitehall until after 1996. People just said you lived out in the county. And I really loved growing up out there. My parents had a house on 5 acres of wooded land, mostly pine trees. And I grew up just kind of playing out in the woods. And there were neighborhood children, I'd play with. And everybody kind of played out in the woods. And it was the kind of an upbringing that you think about from like a generation back. Like in the summertime, you'd pack a backpack with a snack and a canteen, a pocket knife or whatever, and you'd be gone for the day. And take your bicycle and you'd be out doing God knows what. I remember riding out on the highway and riding far off from my house. I remember going to this little convenience store, which wasn't all that far away, but like crossing highways, my parents had no idea where I was. We'd play in creeks, and you'd build little dams in the creek, and you'd catch crawdads and things like that, and catch lizards. I was always scared of snakes. I never tried to catch a snake, but you build forts out of limbs and thatch them with pine needles. I remember I got to be a little bit older, you'd ride a little bit further. I remember one time I climbed an old abandoned water tower with my cousin, which is absolutely crazy. We climbed all the way up to the holding tank. And if either of us had slipped off that ladder, we'd have surely been killed or slipped off the top of that thing. But you just started climbing that ladder and you just kept climbing. You were just looking at the next rung that you were going to grab a hold of, and just climbed till you got up to this kind of a little deck that ran around the thing. And it had a little guardrail around it. We just sat there from as high up as a water tower is, just kind of looking out at the woods and the town and stuff. There was a little well house with a spring. Just go down to the little well house and drink out of the spring. And it was a kind of an idyllically free as in the sense of freedom childhood. I mean, it's almost like that movie Stand By Me. You know, you just get up with your buddies and you'd be gone all day, and you get into, you know, whatever mischief you got into out during the day, playing. People got hurt, you know, once in a while. I mean, nothing ever bad. Nobody ever got, well, I broke my arm once. Bad enough, I guess. But it was a happy way to grow up. It was a lot of fun. It felt safe. It didn't feel scary or dangerous or anything like that. My own son now is six, and I think that he will never know that kind of childhood freedom. It's just not ever going to be like that for him, which is sad, but it was a good way to grow up.